I'm chatting now with Klaas Mogomole, who is the head coordinator of Africans for Peace. Klaas was once a staunch BDS supporter, critical of Israel and its policies. He was recruited into the BDS movement while still a university student. And for those of you who might not know, BDS stands for the Boycott, Disinvestment and Sanction Movement Against Israel. Klaas quickly rose through the ranks of the BDS, organizing campus protests and calling for academic boycotts against Israel. But today, Klaas stands on very different ground. From being a staunch critic of Israel, he's now a passionate advocate for dialogue and understanding, working with Africans for Peace and the South African Zionist Federation. Klaas, thank you so much for joining us here on The Home Run. How were you identified and then recruited into the BDS movement?
Thank you so much for having me. Actually, it's a long story. I don't know, how long do we have? Because I want to narrate everything, or I should just
You know what, we've got about 10 minutes for the whole interview, and of course I have a million questions. So just give us about a two-minute answer.
Oh, cool. So how we recruited, I wasn't the only one. So they targeted student leaders on campus. So student leaders are obviously who are leading in the residences, whether in the resident councils, in the sports council, people that are leading in the faculty councils, in the schools.
When you say they recruited, who's they?
I mean, the guys, the boycott, divestment, sanction guys who came on our campuses. So because they had a mandate or they had a goal to push anti-Israel rhetoric on our campuses. So they knew that they cannot push that rhetoric because they were not known without actually using the student leaders. They knew that we came with constituencies. So that's why they targeted the student leaders in those spaces I already mentioned, including the clubs, organizations, and societies. You know, some clubs and organizations and societies have, for example, we give an example of the Zulu Society. They have more than 1,000 students. So meaning when the chairperson of the Zulu Society is recruited, when he speaks, over 1,000 people can listen to him. And when I was in the SRC, we got recruited because we're in the SRC, and they came and told us how Israel is an apartheid state, why we should stand with the people of Palestine, because we were once oppressed as South Africans. The Palestinians are also being oppressed. We must stand against that. And what we need to do is to come into the space. What we do is we come to the sessions, we write statements, we have marches of protests on campuses, chant a number of stuff on our campuses. So that's how they were. Because then when we came, if I was to say, let's go to this march, is about anti-Zionism, anti-Israel, people will actually come because I had a constituency over 3,000 people following me and listening to me.
Klaas, what was appealing to you and others who they recruited about what they were saying? Why were you so open to promoting the BDS agenda?
Because my parents told me about apartheid when I was growing up. So in the moment they said Israel is an apartheid state, it sort of resonated with what my parents were telling me. By that time, I hadn't been to Israel. I just saw Israel on the news, or once in a while reading about it. I wasn't really much invested in the topic. And when they told me and my fellow activists telling me that Israel's an apartheid state, it touched me, and I wanted to make moves to making sure that people around the world shouldn't suffer from the injustice of apartheid. So it was touching to us as activists. And I can tell you that that's how, even to this day, some activists are falling for the trap, because they believe that this is an apartheid state. They didn't grow up in apartheid, but because they know someone or their parents grew up in apartheid, they tend to believe that and they want to go out there and fight, you know, and make sure that they stop the apartheid. It's been sort of apparently happening in the Middle East.
Klaas, I'm still trying to understand who they are. I know you say they are the BDS movement, but were they receiving funds from any particular organizations, any particular countries? Were they students themselves?
Yes. So BDS operates differently. So we have the national organization called the Boycott, Divestment and Sanction. On campuses, they operate through two organizations, which is the Palestinian Solidarity Committee, and the Muslim Student Associations. So the Muslim Student Association, the Palestinian Solidarity Committee, were in our spaces of the, what do you call, the Progressive Youth Alliance, the ANC, SASCO, South African Student Congress, the Young Communist League. So they're in those spaces. And when we are in the political meetings, they sort of bring about this topic. So the leaders of the Palestinian Solidarity Committee and the Muslim Student Associations are the ones that recruited us. So obviously, BDS, we know for sure that they get money from Qatar. In the past also, we heard that they used to get money from the UAE and stuff like that. So all those funds, even in South Africa, the BDS gets money from Gift of the Givers to make sure that they push their projects on our campuses and making sure that they recruit as many students as possible to make sure that they join their cause.
Did they ever offer money to students to join their cause? And did they use money to put together parties or events that would attract people?
We will have, well, I wasn't offered money, but I believe others might have been offered money. I joined because I believed in the cause. But we used to say social programs. So after our meetings, we'll have braais, which had funded meat, funded alcohol, a number of things, even transport to the venues who were sort of there, you know. But obviously, they only took the student leaders. Then they will leave the constituents behind because they couldn't find everyone. But I believe others were given money. But it was, I don't think they funded everyone, you know. But there are those who obviously received benefits in the form of money.
So, Klaas, if I'm not mistaken, you were part of the BDS for 4 years. And during those years,
yes,
you were involved in putting together campaigns and protests, and all of it was anti-Israel. What was there a moment or an experience that made you first question the BDS and think maybe this isn't right?
So, obviously, I was involved in a number of campaigns, including the march to the American embassy when Barack Obama was coming to South Africa to receive an honorary doctorate at UJ. Even we marched outside UJ when he was receiving it. We did a number of protests and marches on campus at VETS. I think the only time I started questioning the BDS is when, after that march we had in 2013 at VETS, and we got charged by the university for disrupting an event which was organized by South African Union of Jewish Students. That's when I sort of questioned the BDS and started wanting to understand what's happening in the Middle East, because I was sort of rooted inside this, and now I'm charged by the university. I'm about to get expelled from VETS because of my involvement in the BDS, and I realized at that time I didn't know much. That's when I started asking people questions, not just in the BDS, but also outside the BDS, because I wanted to know what's happening in the Middle East, because I came to VETS to get a degree, but now I'm about to get expelled because of disrupting an event, because I believe that we're doing it for the Palestinians.
And where did you look for the answers, and how did you start finding out what Israel was about?
So, you know, after when you are a student lead on campus, you can only speak to, like, your peers. So I spoke to my peers in the organizations, in the ANC, in the South African Student Congress, in the Young Communist League, some people from the Palestinian Solidarity Committee, spoke to one guy also from South African Union of Jewish Students, but they couldn't really give me answers that I needed. Everyone was sort of giving me mixed answers, and I felt like there was a clash. Then eventually, I had an opportunity to go to Israel, which was in 2015. And that's when I actually got to learn more about the conflict. And I got to realize that a number of things that we're told when we're on campus were lies, because they'll tell you stuff like, as a black person, you go to Israel, you won't share the same toilet as the Jews, you won't play maybe volleyball in Tel Aviv with the Jews, you won't walk on the same promenade. You know, you won't go to the same clubs, the same hotel, same schools, a number of things. So I was told a lot of stuff. And when I got to Israel, I realized actually, no, this was a lie. And Obviously, that's when we came back and we started Africans for Peace, me and my colleagues that were on the trip, so that we can educate young people at VATS and other campuses in the country about the conflicts, not just in the Middle East, but around Africa as well, and find solutions as young people, because we are very creative. I mean, I believe we can find solutions that can bring about peace in parts of the world and also in the Middle East, and also to make sure that they have the right information, because students just fall for the trap. They fall for this thing without having the right information about what's happening in the Middle East.
How did you get to go to Israel the first time?
So in 2015, a friend of mine was in touch with with one of the heads of South African Israel Forum. So he was told about the trip and he came to me. The friend also was in the BDS. He told me that, look, me and you are facing expulsion at VATS because of this thing. And I know you are sort of rooted in this and you love it. How about we go and learn about the conflict? And it's like, okay, sure. Yeah, already we're facing expulsion and the information we're getting is only from these guys. How about we learn more, obviously? Then the guy, because I was recruited first, he came and I had to go for interviews as well from the South African Israel Forum. They interviewed me. And yeah, long story short, I was successful and we went to Israel. We learned about it. And yeah, the rest is this.
Klaas, you land in Israel. You're at the airport in Israel. This is your first trip. What is the first thing at the airport that surprises you?
So, number one, you know, I was told that we're going to be treated differently and stuff like that. So I get to
Because of the color of your skin.
Yes, because I'm black and the Jews there are going to treat you like the same way the African government treated your parents in apartheid South Africa. So I was told that. So we get there. Obviously, besides, the airport is very, very secure and you can't just do things as if you are the O.R. Tambo. So security check, very, very intense security check. And that's right after when we made it through, we were waiting for our bags by the carousel. We got our bags. Then I remember telling my friends that actually I'm looking for a restroom. And one of the things I did was to obviously ask the security guard at the airport where the blacks only bathrooms were, you know. And I did that genuinely because I believed that we are not allowed to use the same bathrooms as the Jews in the Middle East. And the guy obviously was shocked, and he just, like, I had to explain myself why I wanted that and stuff like that. So he pointed me to the right bathrooms and he said, look, you go there. We don't have that here. I don't know what you're talking about. So I was going to the male bathroom. I was shocked to see, like, you know, Jews. I was shocked to see other nations there, other colors and stuff like that. And I was like, look, they told me that I can't use these bathrooms, you know. But I thought maybe it's only at the airport. But it became a reality when we drove around Israel from the north to the south. And I realized that, you know, a number of things that I was told were lies. You know, a number of things were just fabricated. They sort of used trigger words because as a black person, you believe and you sort of fall for the trap. I can tell you that, yeah, it touched me. Also, when we went to the south, when we went to Sderot, we saw the rockets being fired. We were by the Gaza border. We could see Gaza and we see how close it is. And realizing that you have 15 seconds to save your life. If a rocket is about to land, it can cause damage to anyone. It doesn't segregate this rocket, whether you are a South African and you are for Free Palestine or you are a Zionist. It doesn't matter. When they fire that rocket, it lands there. It kills anyone because we're in that space. So it was sort of touching, and I realized actually the videos wasn't telling me on this side. They never told me the side of the story. They only told me one side of the story, which they wanted me to believe. They wanted me to just believe that the South African Jews are supporting an apartheid government, and that apartheid government is the same as the apartheid government that was in South Africa. So as student leaders, we must be caught, we must have marches, we must sanction, we must do a lot of stuff. So it actually touched me.
Klaas, how do you respond to threats? I know you've had threats. How do you respond to threats from people who say that you've sold out?
Look, I always tell them there are two types of people. There are people that are informed and those who are exposed. Look at with me, I've been to the land. I've seen it for myself. Someone who calls me a sellout is some only person who hasn't been to Israel. And I always challenge them, like, look, if you have your own money, how about you book your own ticket and you go to Israel and learn about it and you shall go see the apartheid you're talking about, because I've been there. I know the truth. So you better listen to me because I know it. I've been there. I've seen it for myself. You are only speaking from outside. You haven't really been inside. So you better listen to me. So I deal well with stress. So also what I do is that whenever there's that opportunity, I actually get to educate, because normally people will try to insult you on the socials or even maybe during debates. And whenever they do that, I use that opportunity to actually educate the audience. The audience has to be educated. I give them more information about the Middle East, tell them about the fact that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Arabs, Jews can vote, can form a political party. Tell them that there's press freedom. There are a number of things that is not told, you know, by the BDS. So I use that opportunity to actually educate them, and it leaves them embarrassed because they get to understand that this guy has been there. This guy speaks the reality that he has lived. It's not just something that he has read about or was sort of misinformed by some BDS people.